This podcast is sponsored by Aurora Packaging Solutions, a global packaging solutions provider leading the transition to a more sustainably packaged future. They specialize in developing packaging and visual communication solutions that reduce the impact on the environment and bring sustainability goals to life. With a focus on partnership and service, they create a custom solution for your business. To learn more, please visit www.ororapackaging.com. Welcome to Sustainable Packaging with Corey Connors. Today's guest is my friend, Ton Knipscher. He's a business consultant at TK Packaging. How are you, Ton?
I'm good. Thank you.
Thank you for making time for this. I really appreciate it. We met recently in Amsterdam at Packaging Europe's event there. Yeah. But I'd love to hear about your background. How'd you get into this crazy business?
Oh, I've been in packaging longer than I care to remember. I literally grew up between packaging machines. My parents used to run different packaging companies. And so obviously my first real job was not in packaging. But eventually after 8 years in marketing and advertising, I decided to follow my fate and go back to packaging. I've never left. That's 30 years ago. It's something in packaging which I really like. I've been responsible for the Pringles cans in Europe. I ran a packaging plant in the Netherlands. I worked in the UK. I worked in Germany. I worked in Belgium. So it's packaging, at the end of the day, is interesting wherever you go, wherever you look at it. Cardboard packaging, plastic packaging, flexible, rigid, everything.
I agree. And those Pringles cans are everywhere.
Absolutely. Wow. When I started, there were two major plants, one in Jackson, Tennessee, and one in Mechelen, Belgium. And now they got, I think, when I last counted, they had 10 plants producing the Pringles cans. It's crazy.
I believe
it's
it.
It's fantastic.
It's just such a great way to package them and such an innovative item. I think every pub I went to in Ireland had Pringles on the counter ready to go, just in case you wanted some.
Exactly. But,
I just saw this week that they have a recyclable can now, which is incredible.
With the paper base, correct. That's a major thing, because you can imagine that the production lines are highly efficient. Mm-hmm. So changing them over to paper bases is a challenge, to put it mildly.
I'm sure they weren't very happy, but I think it, or at least the production team, probably not super excited, but.
We've had these discussions in my times as well, when we talked about different lids, different membranes, different bases, and everybody said, great idea. Production people said, I'd rather not.
Good luck. Yeah, try.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Well, let's talk about your consulting business, Ton. What do you focus on? Who would come to you for packaging wisdom?
I consult small and medium-sized companies with business development and marketing. Furthermore, I'm the executive director at the European Co-Packing Association, ECPA. And meanwhile, since about a month, I'm a proud grandfather of two boys.
Oh, congratulations. Wow.
Thank you.
How amazing.
6 weeks old now.
Well, what an incredible honor to be a grandparent. I can't wait. Yeah.
Yeah, I can imagine. I can recommend.
Well, actually, I can wait.
You have to.
I'm happy to wait.
Exactly.
Well, it was great to meet you at Packaging Europe in Amsterdam. Can you tell us a little bit about your experience there? What did you think of that event?
I thought it was a great event. I think it's always good to see so many packaging people and so much packaging expertise in one building, especially now with the whole PPWR legislation coming on board in Europe nowadays. But of course, it'll follow throughout the world, I'm sure. Yeah. And these debates about that, usable packaging, circular packaging, really inspiring. I must say, I was really inspired.
Agree. Me too. And incredible insights. The speakers were top notch and
correct.
Some unique revelations. I was excited to see a company like Amazon step up and say, we're going to use recyclable packaging in Europe 100%. Yeah. Whoa, that's a big revelation.
It's a major change as well for these companies, because just like with the Pringles, these people have such a big footprint that any kind of change is automatically massive.
Yeah, right. Huge impact. And you're based in Amsterdam, so it wasn't
I'm based about an hour and a half south of Amsterdam, but the Netherlands is so small. We limited the speed, so we make our country look bigger.
I was able to bring my wife on that trip, and boy, we sure had a great time. It was her birthday, and really enjoyed that event. Yeah,
nice place to be then in Amsterdam if it's on your birthday. Unfortunately, the weather wasn't too good, but November, right?
We're from Oregon in the U.S., and it rains a lot here, so we say we have web feet over here, and that's very true. We're used to it. It was
okay.
To us, it felt normal. And we were pleasantly surprised that it didn't rain every day. That's where we set our expectation.
Okay. Now, if you don't raise the bar too high, then you'll be good.
Yeah. Yeah. My one thing I learned is, well, I learned a lot, but watch out for bikes.
Especially in Amsterdam.
Right away. Yeah.
And if they don't have it, they'll take it. I've been going through Amsterdam with lots of foreign colleagues, and sometimes I had to pull them back. Because they were going in with their expectations like normal bike drivers would behave. And in Amsterdam, bike drivers are not really normal, I can tell you. Even for us Dutch, if we're not from Amsterdam, we go like, okay, that's the way it goes. We should adjust.
Right.
It's always funny.
I love that.
But driving a bike, by the way, is an excellent form of transportation. You cannot imagine if all these people would get into a car. Yeah, given if the distance is appropriate, then it is definitely a good form of transportation.
Well, let's talk about packaging. What do you recommend to your clients to make their packaging more sustainable? What's some of your go-to secrets?
I always tell my customers and everybody I talk to in the business, because I'm a packaging geek, packaging should be looked at from a design for recycling standpoint. So every designer should start with the end of life of the packaging in mind. Yeah. If they do that, you're good to go. So if you then, and also question the shelf life, the requested shelf life. Is it necessary to have 2-year shelf life, or is the product consumed within 3 months? If so, reduce the laminate. Right. And if you can go to a mono material, if you're in plastics or a cardboard with a recyclable laminate, do so. And don't go back to what you've done before, because you've always done it like that.
Right. I love this.
This is the same for the Pringles cans. Pringles cans used to have a shelf life of 18 months because they were produced in one side in the world. Now they're produced in 10 sides of the world. Mm-hmm. Why still have 18 months?
Exactly. And those things are getting consumed quickly. Very popular product. And maybe 8 months would be enough, or even 6. And like you said. Yeah.
Exactly. And why would you overspecify 95% of your product for 5% of your market? If you have a particular market which requires more shelf life, then make that a special run.
Yeah.
And the same thing I always tell to speak with my customers about is the paperization of packaging, as I call it. Yeah. I love paper packaging, but replacing a appropriate plastic packaging for paper packaging just because you want to be looked at as a sustainable packaging supplier, not necessarily the right way.
Right. Agree. You can't do it just for perception. We need to do it because it's the right and correct. I love that you said that, the correct sustainable choice. Yeah, well said.
And this paperization of packaging is something which has come across the markets. You see it all over the place in Europe. But then if you analyze the pack, it turns out that there is a laminate inside. And the plastic packaging could have been a mono material, which was fully recyclable. And the laminate on the paper may not.
Yeah, well said. Are you seeing this PPWR and these different extended producer responsibility laws, are they making recycling more easy to do, I should say?
I think there is a monetary incentive. In the Netherlands, we, as of January this year, we started with a differentiation of the packaging taxes. That means that a plastic which is not easy to recycle will pay more taxes, have a higher levy than plastics which are easily recyclable. And that's for all materials. That means there is a financial incentive to go for a packaging format which is recyclable. And I think this is the way it goes. Otherwise, it's going to be just lip service.
Well said. It's come to this. We thought it would, where we would have to make it financially hurt to use packaging that is not sustainable. But I think what you're going to see is a lot of companies making good decisions, I hope.
Exactly. And this is what, but you have to have some form of legislation behind it, because if governments or authorities do not put their money where their mouth is, the companies won't do it either.
Right. Well said.
And the same thing goes for plastic bags. If you go to a grocery store in the Netherlands or anywhere in Europe, you have to pay for your plastic bag to take out the stuff. In the US, sometimes you still get it for free. What happens is there's no value attached to it.
Yeah, you're seeing that more and more in the US as well. The plastic bag ban, the single-use plastic bag, I should say. We're all about our reusable bags over here. And a lot of people are willing to even pay for the 5 cents for the paper bag or plastic if it's allowed, because they need them. But hotly debated topic over here for sure. Changing consumers' options, they don't like all the time.
But sometimes that's a slow process. But you have to facilitate it. There has to be an infrastructure for the recycling, but there also has to be an offering for it.
Right.
There are packaging-free supermarkets in Europe. So far, none of them has been really successful, but there are other initiatives to use circular packaging, like, for example, pre-filled packaging. Instead of refill, it goes into a pre-fill. I'm now working with a UK company on a pre-fill concept where they have plastic packs and they have them filled. Then at a co-packer, then they ship them to the consumer, direct to consumer, or through specialized retailers. Then when the consumer has finished with them, they collect them back, or they deliver them back, they clean them, and they refill them again. So you have no hygienic and allergen and other responsibilities for the consumer to refill it in the supermarket, which eventually never works out.
Yeah, it's tough to ask the consumer to refill their item, but...
Who's responsible for spillage? If you spill something on the floor, who's responsible?
Who buys that, right? The brand has to probably eat that loss, unfortunately. But what will happen is they're going to save money on packaging, the brand. So maybe they can pass that savings along to that extra spillage percentage and even make their product
But the same thing goes for hygiene, of course. If you look at hygiene at a refill station in a supermarket, that's always challenging. Mm-hmm. If you have allergens coming around, like with nuts and other products, that's always challenging. If you go for it from the standpoint where you do a pre-fill at a specialized location, that's all solved.
Right. And I talked to a large company about pre-fill concentrates. Yep. And they were very concerned with the chemistry of the cleaning agent. It can't be too concentrated and it can't be too watered down to work effectively. So they were very concerned with the exact dose being used in the bottle. And they solved that by a closed capsule. I thought it was really intelligent.
I've seen a packaging award prize being given to a company in the Netherlands last year for a dose of a cleaning agent in a water-soluble pouch, which the consumer got through the mailbox in a small cardboard box. Right. Then they put it in a flask, added the water to it, which is exactly measured, shook it a little while, and then it worked.
Yeah.
The product worked. So it was not shipping water around. I think you said that shipping water around with cleaning agents is ridiculous.
Yes, I agree. Yeah.
And it doesn't need to be that way.
No. You're exactly right. Hand soap, cleaning agents, shampoo, these things can be easily diluted at home, assuming you have a source of water, which I would assume if you're in a shower. And not every situation is appropriate for that, but I think most of them are. And you're exactly right. Why are we shipping water to each other to use in a room that produces water? It's such a simple mindset shift. And I think we're going to save a lot of money and freight costs. It's exciting to see these new products come out.
Yeah, true. And of course, the packaging savings and also the convenience for the consumer. I think the consumer has to get used to it. In the old days, detergent powders were huge packs, this size, everybody go like 5-10 pounds, whatever. Yeah. And now they're concentrates in a soluble pad.
You're exactly right. It's a total mind shift. And I interviewed the team from Tide about this. And they were saying they're trying to encourage consumers to wash their laundry in cold water because it's more sustainable to not have to use that energy. True. And it saves you money. Well, what they're finding is many people, generally of the older generation, say, no, I've always washed my clothes in hot water. Why would you ask me to do something differently? Yeah. And they're almost upset about this idea. And they say, well, we can only show you that it works through our science here.
Yeah, but then, of course, the natural thing is that the older generation will gradually disappear and the young generation will come in and they will take their own little fetishes with them.
And it's interesting, though, a lot of the people I talk to are our age and older, and they're saying, I love these new ideas. So it's not just an age thing. I think it's a mindset thing. Are you open to different ideas and being willing to save the planet one thing at a time?
Yeah, and I think it also helps if you're in, like us, like you're in packaging. If you're in packaging, you see all these changes come about and you go like, this is a good idea. This is not such a good idea. Let's go for this or that. Yeah. So it's like the individually wrapped banana, like, why?
Right. Yes. Very interesting. Great point. Thank you, Tom. Well, what do you got going on here next? You got Paris Packaging Week. I'll see you there next week.
Yeah, correct. And then I'm going over to Orlando to go to the CPA annual conference, the Contract Packers North America.
Oh, wow.
I'll be there and I'll take my wife over then because of the weather change.
Yeah.
So that's something we're looking forward to, engaging with the North American co-packers. And also the brand owners, of course, because we're seeing that as co-packers, that a lot of brand owners have found out that they're great at building a brand. They're not necessarily so good at actually producing it.
Right.
And this is where co-packers and co-manufacturers come in and fill this gap with their agility. I think this is something which is definitely of interest for the industry, also for packaging.
Yeah, well said. Well, very exciting. Thank you again for your time. What's the best way for people to get in touch with you so they can work with you?
They can find me on LinkedIn. I'm pretty active and vocal there. They can go to conferences. There are lots of conferences in Europe coming up. I'm speaking at conferences coming up in, let me see, Frankfurt, Milan, Berlin. There are other conferences and packaging shows where I'll be. So,
wow.
And just find me on LinkedIn.
Busy man. I love it.
Yeah, packaging is like an addiction, right? You know that.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what else I would do if I stopped doing this. Yeah.
Once you're in packaging, you never get out. It's like Hotel California.
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate your time.
You're welcome. With
them. Thanks,
and see you in Paris. See you in Paris next week.
Talk soon. Thank you.
All right. Take care. Bye. Bye.
This episode is sponsored by SpecRite, the first purpose-built platform for specification management. So much has changed when it comes to packaging, and there's a new book to help you stay ahead of the curve, The Evolution of Products and Packaging, written by longtime packaging executive Mr. Matthew Wright, helps you unpack industry trends and explains how you can use data to drive packaging, innovation, and sustainability. Download your free copy today at specright.com/book. That's SPECRIGHT.com/book.